Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Mac and T Show podcast. Here are your hosts, Brian McKay and T. David.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T. Davis. Yeah. You can't tame us. We're going to the top. We're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. NBA playoffs. Conference finals kicked off in the Western Conference on Sunday. Did you get a chance to look at the questionable dirty play that everybody's talking about with Zaza Pachulia going up to defend Kawhi Leonard's shot, and Kawhi Leonard comes down on his foot and turns his ankle, goes out for the rest of the game? All day yesterday, everything I saw, everybody was questioning whether that was a dirty play. Even old Popovich got up there on a press conference and went off about it. What did you think of the play?
It was dirty.
You think so?
Don't nobody slide like that, Brian. That second slide was the one that made it dirty. If the first approach step, we teach approach step,
yep.
And you would lean with that leg, which was fine. But then when he took the next step, which was no reason because the guy already done rose up to shoot, there's no reason for you to take another step. You must want him to land on you or to do something. Now, we have no way of knowing, you know, and I'm sure he didn't know, like, yeah, when I do this, he's going to twist his ankle, but still it was dirty because there's no reason. And he knows, he can say whatever. He tried to look like he didn't know it was a foul. You know you got to get a shooter room in the land. Like, they've been teaching that for God knows how long now. And that's why I don't like when shooters can. You got to try to get them room in the land, but if you jump straight up, they can jump into you. So it shouldn't be double standards on that, but apparently it is. But, yeah, that was dirty.
Yeah, I mean, the rule is what it is now. They changed the rule because of, you know, all that, where you got to let them come down. It's automatic foul regardless. But yeah, and the fact that he has such a history of questionable tactics.
Yeah, apparently he had some armbar move against them in the past, and
yeah,
elbowed somebody in the head, and
I love that Davy West is his teammate now, and just a couple years ago they was getting after it with each other.
Right.
But he's defending him now. Anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, that was unacceptable. Again, if he had took that one approach step, was fine. But then when he slid that second time, it was no reason for you to slide up under him because, like, he had already jumped in the air. You didn't jump to contest the shot, so no other reason for you to do that was to be up under him when he landed.
Yeah, I agree. But, I understand Kawhi was out, but, man, when... And I had just got out my mouth that when they were down, like, I think it was 25 points they came back, Golden State came back from. I just got through saying they shoot too good and can score in bunches, that this lead is still not safe. And it wasn't. As soon as Leonard went down, it seemed like San Antonio just kind of fell off the rails. And Golden State made that huge 25-point comeback, largest comeback in Western Conference Finals history.
Well, I don't know if that would have happened with him in or not. It probably could have because they go on these big runs and at some point. And like you, I was like, well, when I first saw the first half, I was like, oh, they'll go on the run and cover the spread. And then I looked up and I was like, oh, they won. I wasn't surprised that they had that comeback because that's what they do. And they had been off for some games.
Yeah.
So their father was kind of rusty a little bit. But yeah.
And speaking of being off, I'm interested to see what goes down with Cleveland now that they finally have them a foe in the Eastern Conference Finals with the Boston Celtics.
They ain't got no foe. They're gonna beat them up. They're gonna do what Washington should have did. I would post Isaiah Thomas up. I don't care who on him, because Irving can post up. I don't know who else he might be guarding, but anybody that's on him, I'll post him up and make them have to figure out what they're gonna do, because anybody can get their shot off on him. Because most, even Irving ain't really about 6'1", maybe.
Mm-hmm.
He gonna still be able to shoot over him, and that's gonna be another sweep.
Yeah, I just want to see how they come out the gate. I think they're going to be a little slow like Golden State was Sunday after having so many days off.
They're going to try to make a message. The good thing with them is, and you, everybody know I'm not a LeBron fan, but LeBron, he'll pull that all together until they all rest up and come to get ready to play if they are late like a day ago.
Yeah.
They still don't have nobody that can guard him or frustrate him or any of that.
Yeah, right.
All I'm worried about is, Lord Jesus, please help us get the 1, 2, or 3 ball. Amen.
And she's speaking on behalf of her Los Angeles Lakers, who have a top 3 protected pick in this year's draft lottery. And that's tonight, isn't it?
Let the church say amen again.
Yes, tonight, the draft lottery. Mm. Interesting. Let's see where they fall.
Magic going to the draft. Maybe he gonna put some magic on it.
Oh, is he gonna be the representative?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. They need some magic. Moving on. You have any puns for us?
Are we punning it again? These people are participating in punning around.
Listen, I'm getting email people. I appreciate your emails telling me
what they doing, a riddle?
No. They sending me emails appreciating and with their appreciation and their comments about, you know, they enjoy the pun segment and looking forward to the future puns. No, we appreciate your admiration, but we want you to join in.
We want your participation.
Yes, your admiration is great. We want the participation. So what you need to do is do what you've been doing, comments and your emails to dmacntshow@gmail.com. Add us on Twitter, @TheMacTShow on Twitter. Send us like you've been doing, but no, we want you to send actual puns. Come up, bring us your puns. We come around here and T comes every week with her puns. She gets her people. Actually, you haven't even got anybody to say.
My scrubs ain't text messaged me theirs yet. Half of them can't remember what their puns were. Because I write my puns down when I think of them. Because I know I'm going to forget myself.
So even if you didn't have any this week, I wanted to at least bring it up to give people the chance to understand. I don't know where the misunderstanding was, but there was a misunderstanding somewhere. Yeah, the admiration is nice, but we want the participation. So send us your puns. Let us know what you think. You got any this week?
So, if a chicken shoots a bird, is that a chicken finger? But it ain't easy, y'all. But it ain't easy.
Mm-mm.
My favorite, as you can tell.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do one more. Let me see in my little list, because Lord, I'm starting to forget which ones that I have done. This is for my Mission Impossible fans.
Okay.
When Ethan Hunt from Mission Impossible searches for a bad guy, is that a scavenger hunt? Come on, people. Funny ain't easy.
Yes.
You can do it.
Send in your puns. I do not have one this week. I'm barely prepared for this show as it is, considering the last few days I've been.
Brian got a new baby girl, yes. Cut niece.
Yes, I had my little niece in my life, and last 5 days has been nothing but, you know, baby. So, yeah, they brought her home for the first time Sunday, and she is, in her brief little life, she's seen a bunch. She's got dogs licking her, she's seen the outside, she's had a full life already.
Wow.
So, yeah. We just want her to keep her eyes open long enough. She sleeps so much.
Tired. She knows. Let her get up rest.
Man, but she is coming out her little scrunched up ball. She's actually stretching out a little bit, so that's good.
Yeah, get up rest.
The problem is she got her days and nights confused. My brother and sister-in-law were up all night, 2 nights ago, and I'm quite sure they were up again last night. I haven't got the word on that yet, but 2 nights ago they were up all night, and I think my brother actually laid with her on his chest in the recliner from 4 a.m.
That's the best way to get her to sleep. That's the best way right there.
From about 4 a.m. to about 8 a.m. until me and Dad showed up over there yesterday morning. So, yeah. But it's an exciting time. Always is. New baby coming to your life. It's always an exciting
thing. Yeah, that's, ladies and gentlemen, when they won't go to sleep, unless you're the worst parent in the world, don't worry. You don't even have to sleep in a chair because I don't have any kids, but I've done it and slept with babies on my chest. You don't, unless you're just, like I said, the worst parent in the world, you don't have to worry about rolling over and smothering them. All these people in the news that you hear doing that, they just lying. They probably try to kill these kids. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It ain't funny, but it's funny. Moving on to TV shows. CNN's series United Shades of America is back for its second season. Host W. Kamau Bell goes around different areas, you know, different topics each week. And not this past Sunday, but Sunday before that, they did episode on the Chicago gangs, and talking about the misconceptions and, you know, this, that, and the other of one of the highest murder rating cities in America. Did not know that it was the home. First of all, didn't know it was the home of our host W. Kamau Bell. Didn't know that. Also, the home of former gangster Al Capone.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, hosts one of the highest murder rates in the USA, which is pretty much well known because it's on the news all the time. He does a nice little job. And, you know, he starts out talking to a couple of rival gangs. You know, just that another, he goes into their neighborhoods, talking to them about what they think. As far as, you know, why they are what they are, what they think is the reason, what's the cause of that. And these guys are a bunch of, you know, older cats who are trying to ingratiate the younger generation to a newer side of things, letting them know that it's not necessarily, you know, violence and gang has to be a part of their life. They're trying to do something different for the younger generation. Hadn't really worked out because the young generation, like they say in the piece, is they're hard-headed. They don't really listen very well. They're just all about, you know, social media and running their mouth on social media, getting things done that way. And that's the new hustle is what they call it. They're on social media telling people what they're going to do to the next person. Then they go out and do it. Like we had, and this is unrelated to Chicago, but like the guy that shot the old man on Facebook Live, there was other circumstances involved with him being, you know, a little bit mentally incapacitated with the fact that him and his wife was going at it or whatnot. And he was trying to get back at her for what ungodly reason. But yeah, that's how the kids in this, these gang members tell you, that's how these kids are these days. They're on Facebook Live showing off with their guns and this, that, and the other. And then that's how the violence starts. That was interesting to me. Let's see. Bell goes on to talk to a couple of community activists, Kofi Adamola. This is where you came in. You said you saw this part where they were in the city You want to talk about that? T?
I hardly remember what happened in the city.
I just thought the whole thing
was interesting because when he went to bring the gang leaders or the old school gang leaders together, one of them had gotten shot and killed down the street like an hour prior to that, which is scary. Another thing was how when he was talking to them in like the parking lot of like a project, I guess that's what you would call it. And the guy kept saying, you know, we got eyes on us now, and we got our
boogies.
I forgot what he called them,
boogies.
But I knew it was
boogies.
Yeah, I was like, oh, those are guns. Like, just say that, because all these other slang, right. But whatever, that's your terminology.
Right.
And I was like, it's hard out here in the streets. Part of the issue is, like, when you take everything away from young children, like the kids were saying, you don't even have no basketball courts. Because if you listen to, like, Carmelo, Paul Pierce, Jason Kidd, Kevin Garnett, and all them, if you listen to their stories, what do they tell you they used to be all the time?
At the courts.
Now, if you take that away, you can hardly find anywhere around here that's got a decent center. And I mean, when I say center, I'm talking about recreation center. Like, there are quite a few in Chattanooga, but like I've been in places that it's like one, and I'm like, one center? What about the people that can't get across town to this place? So you take all the opportunities away from them. It's getting to the point, even in high school, you got to pay to do extracurricular activities. I don't know if we talked about this, but my sibling's partner was saying that they had to pay $25 or $50 for the child to even try out for a team. I was like, that's extortion. Like, are they going to give you that money back if they don't make the team?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that we talked about this on air, but I remember you and I have spoken about this.
And then you got places that you got to pay to be in the chess club. Like, this is stuff that I've read. Like, I'm just not hearsay. Like, so when you're taking all these opportunities away from children to do something productive, you know, out of hands, out of devil's workshop. And so, I mean, people broke, can't get no job. This is when bad things happen.
Yeah. Two other pieces on this episode I found interesting was when he went and spoke to Jalinda Wade, who is the mother of Glenn Wade.
She talked about gangbanging and doing everything else.
And we've spoken about her in the past, and if you don't know her history, it's well worth looking up if you want to Google it in your spare time. She's had a life. But anyway, she speaks about gun violence that took her niece, literally wasn't even involved in the shooting. They weren't even the targets. They just happened to be innocent bystander and were taken out, which was well documented. They talk about how Donald Trump tried to use that in one of his speeches, at one of his rallies, talking about that.
Right.
Yeah, I thought that was
really interesting. I think part of the problem with the gun deal is, and not with necessarily the gun deal, with the these new school fools, they don't have any kind of ethics. Like, there used to be rules to the game. You don't kill kids, you don't kill women, and all kinds. But they don't have any rules anymore. They just do what they want to do. If you get killed, oh well. I mean, everything needs boundaries, whether you're doing bad or not. There needs to be rules to stuff.
Yeah.
And so now they just don't care. And that's why you see these kids, these women, bystanders. Like the guy said, you know it's about to go down. You can make an announcement. Hey, get off the streets. It's about to go down. And people that don't listen, that's one thing. But then still, you got people that get shot in their house, in the bed, sleep, and, you know, all kinds of stuff. So, I don't really know what they're going to do, because I get tired of people, well, they don't need guns. Why everybody got a right to have guns but minorities? If y'all change the rules on guns, then, yeah, we can say that they don't need guns. But last time I checked, you got a right to bear arms. I don't care if we continue bad, good, or indifferent. Yeah. That's a right that this Constitution has given everybody.
It's in the Constitution. Until y'all change that, then law is what it is. The last thing I want to talk about, and we don't have to touch very long on it, just I thought this was really interesting. It's Diane Lattiker, Lattiker, I know I'm going to butcher that last name, but community activist and founder of the nonprofit Kids Off the Block Foundation. She has erected a memorial for the, you know, the youth who have fallen to gunfire.
Oh, with the bricks, yeah.
Yes, and I thought that was just, it was too many. Sad. It was sad. Too many.
She had stacks of bricks over there that she said she needed to put up, and that stack was high.
And then they gave the stat about on the year 2016, 762 deaths. 51% of those were 25 or younger. And that's crazy.
That's crazy.
I mean, she even had a brick up there, for like a one-year-old.
A one-year-old?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, man. So, yeah, I don't really know if he challenged the misconception, if there's a misconception or not, as far as I think he was trying to do. I don't think he ever really accomplished that, but the episode was very
good. He did. I think he was showing, and I think it should be another one, right? I feel like it was two episodes. Anyway, I think it's just like showing that these people are not just doing that just to be doing it. It's they're a product of their environment. And you don't want to, if you don't educate people, you won't give them jobs. They feel hopeless. It's survival of the fittest. And that's going to happen wherever you are. And so if you looked at, you remember when that lady was talking about how they was trying to shut down certain schools, which yes. was going to make their kids have to walk into gang territory to go to another school, which was going to put them in danger. And so when you start taking away the academics, and when you walk into a building and got to go through a radar and get scanned down like you some common criminal, like, what are you going to start? That's the mindset you're going to start. Whether you, your mom or dad telling you you're better than that, subconsciously, that's starting to be ingrained in your being. You got these resource officers. That ain't nothing but police. They in schools, and I understand why, but when you got these bad educational systems, like I said, it's hard for people to find jobs. Because, one, they're not educated. It's going to be tough to get a job. Two, I mean, until minimum wage go up, a lot of people ain't going to take some of these low-end jobs. That's just the fact of the matter. And then, I mean, I don't know what, like I said, we got to give people, these children, something to do. They need some recreational activities. Oh, they're going to wind up joining a gang and running around and doing mischievous, bad stuff. If you ain't got no park to go to, because if you a single child, you can take a ball and go shoot. But in this day and age, people ain't going to even want their kids out.
No.
Where would the Bible get shot?
Used to be, the mindset when the street lights come on, you be in the house. Now it's just,
just be in the house.
Just be in the house.
All the time. So I can know where you are.
Yes. Well, sticking with TV shows and somewhat the same thing as the games.
Shot fired, man. Shots so sad. Fired.
Rock bottom, episode eight.
That's so sad.
This episode really focused on more character development and, you know, the relationship between each other. Let's see. Ash and Preston finally did what I think a lot of fans were hoping. As I look on Twitter, I think a lot of fans were hoping for. They finally got together.
For it.
I wasn't either, but I knew it was going to come eventually. It wasn't a shock to me when it happened. We're talking about, we kick off with last week where Pastor Janae got arrested. Ash and Preston. I done gave him a couple name already. Ash and Preston go and interview her. She denies having anything to do with Joey Campbell's death. But she does admit, in so many words, ordering her hands, her holy henchmen, if you will, to kind of rough Joey up to try and get him to stop selling weed, you know, stop slinging. She also mentioned a burglary at the church, which she suspects is what really got the gun planted there. And, you know, she kind of looks off where the police officers are behind the glass and kind of stares them down on that note. I know it's too easy for us to see that it's not Pastor Janae, but I just want to know exactly who it's going to be, because I truly at this point don't think it was the Cox guy, that they're trying to make it look like it's too easy for us to believe that it is him. The old guy, I think he was there, but I don't necessarily think he was the one.
Well, why was it his gun?
That's the other thing that's perplexing to me. The gun was confiscated in this whole investigation, and the serial number was wiped off. But as Ash says, she knew somebody who would be able to check it out, which happened to be her ex-husband, boyfriend, whatever they were.
Baby daddy. That's all we know.
Javier is the one she was speaking of. And honestly, this episode, up until now, I felt like Ash was, Shania Lathan was playing a character like you would see in an old cop film. Like, just playing old badass cop, da-da-da-da-da. This whole time, I think this episode, she really kind of showed her range and really, really put some acting down, because that scene where she's trying to convince him to help her out, and even though they're going through what they're going through, with the child custody hearings and all that good stuff, that scene and her words and her actions, and even later on when Officer Breedland with the Gate Station Police get into their tussle, I just feel like her acting really, her range really showed in this episode.
I think her range been shown, because typically this is not a role that she'll take. Like,
not in the
she been being a nasty on the Family That Prays, and that's the role that almost made me not like her. Because she was so nasty on that role. But then you got the Love and Basketball, then you got Brown Sugar. Like, using her roles, that role was hard, but using her roles are kind of soft. She's been pretty, like, hard and aggressive in this role the whole time. When she slipped that cup on him and had him change their fences, beat him, and almost choked him out, I wasn't no good. I was like, see? You mess with the bull.
Yeah. I thought when he was getting ready to attack each other, I said she's baiting him. When she popped them cuffs on him, I said, yep, told you, she was baiting him. She was ready for him to come.
She baited him when she walked him outside. He should have known.
Let me get to my favorite part really, really quick on this episode, and it had nothing to do with storyline. Just the actress that played in the story. Lorraine Toussaint made an appearance. She is Carrie's mother, Officer Beck's wife's mother.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I love her. And ever since I saw her in Orange is the New Black, she has been one of my favorite actresses to follow, because her part in that got, I think she actually won a couple of awards for that portrayal in that one season of Orange is the New Black. But she was very good in that, and when I saw her, I was like, yes! I hope they keep her around. Yes. But what did you think about when she told her daughter, don't question him about what actually happened, just so he'll know that you got his back and you're not,
Well, I don't necessarily concur with that, because I think he should trust his wife enough to be like, babe, this is what happened, so that everybody's clear on whether you did wrong or right. She's still gonna be on your side. He should just be like, this is what happened. And so she'll just know and not just be running around like curious. You acting crazy, you drinking, snatching up the kids. Then them kids need to be snatched up, because they was getting on my nerves. I was like, who raised y'all? Like,
right.
Anyway, but I didn't agree with that. I did agree with don't leave the house. I mean, put somebody on the couch, do whatever, but don't leave the house. But yeah. I didn't agree with don't ask. He should just tell it. I shouldn't have to ask.
Right. What did you think about Shamika Campbell and Jesse Carr's mother. I can't think of her name right
now. That was just so out of the blue. I thought that was really sweet, them bonding and having some time together. I guess the lady started to realize, like, because she don't seem to have anybody else either. And I don't know if the lady heard that the son had run off or not, but, like, they in the same boat, no matter what color they are. Luffy on a lost child to gun violence at the hands of authorities. So y'all can help each other get through it.
And I do like the writers on this show do an excellent job. And I think they're I guess it's an homage to what happened in Ferguson, Missouri, with where the Justice Department was going out and basically just handing out all kind of different tickets and this and the other. They did that on this show with the Gate Station police, where they're just out there just ticketing folks for anything. Right then, where it's just a whole, you know, just if they can't pay them, they're hauled to jail. And I felt like that was a good homage to what happened in Ferguson, Missouri.
Well, forget about Ferguson. That happens every day, Brian, in black neighborhoods. Like, people, and that's what I think came up in Chicago. You remember when they was filming, and he was talking to the one guy, and somebody was getting arrested. And then the guy was like, no, they probably did something wrong. And he was like, I'm fine when people do something wrong if the police show up. But for the people, the police just to come up and just randomly harass people, that's another thing. That happens all the time. It's in a book that I'm reading called Nobody by Mark Lamont Hill. I don't know Mark, but it's been a good book. It's been insightful. But that practice, they called it window policing, that's been going on for a long time.
Yeah. Do you have any predictions going further on what?
Well, I'm sad because I just saw that they're not renewing the show, and so I hope that we get some culminating something by next week, or somebody else might pick it up, because I think the show has been good. It's sad that this show has been number 7th ranked show of all the Fox shows. 7 is, I don't know how many shows they have, but I'm kind of disappointed that they're not renewing the contract for season 2. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just so disappointed that Ash and Preston were together. I'm waiting out for
them. Well, I think... that didn't surprise me when it happened, but at the same time, I was like, why?
And that's why I wanted it not to happen, because everybody that was watching was like, oh, they're going to eventually hook up. If you had just made them hold out and pulled a scene from, not what's little guy to do with, what's the movie when Winston Snipes was just lying on the bed with Angela Bassett's character? You remember that movie?
I know. I'm trying to think of it now.
I Can't Breathe. Last Breath.
Waiting to Exhale. No, Jesus.
Waiting to Exhale. I Can't Breathe helped you get to Waiting to Exhale. That's the same thing. So, when that scene happened, that's what I was hoping they would go for. Like, just let her be vulnerable and he hold her while she cry about whatever. And because we don't see her crying and being emotional like that, that would have been more intimate than them being sexually involved.
Yes.
I was just happy with that.
Yeah, well, I can't breathe.
I knew it had something if you wait to exhale, that means you can't breathe. You
can't breathe. That was hilarious. As soon as you said, I can't breathe, it came to my head. And you know I know that movie.
Good on Taboo.
You know
that's why you need good Taboo partners that you know that you say stupid stuff like that and be like, what? How did you get that out of that?
Well, you already know me and you were killing them games. But yeah, and you know I know that movie anyway, because my girl, rest in peace.
Yeah, your girl was in there, Lord have mercy. That's hilarious. With the cheating man The mayor, man, Lord, I can't take it. And speaking of cancellations, scandals last year, season is next season.
Yes, season 7 will be their final, the one that's coming up after this.
Look, I might watch the last season.
So, yeah, it's going to be interesting because now Melee is president. So, it's going to be interesting to see what they do in season 7.
Oh, man.
You know Fitz ain't going nowhere. He's going to be around.
Right.
So...
so that happened. I feel like it was one more thing we didn't even talk about. The step under the lid. People say your pawns. I was thinking that we was gonna have some today.
I was sad about it. And we actually got some emails and they were just and some, you know, some messages underneath and all that. And they were all just liking, you know, loving the new segment. They said, okay, we'll appreciate your admiration, but come on with your participation. I think I'll make that my new tagline on Twitter.
Oh Lord.
But yeah, next week.
Congratulations to all y'all graduates out there. Most people's graduations are over now.
College graduation.
Yeah. Who you know somebody in high school?
Yes, there's that a couple of them down here is all waiting, you know, for another week or so toward the end of the month.
Who you know about the graduating high school?
Nobody like near and dear.
Well, that's why they weren't talking about high school because neither one of us know anybody in high school. Actually, I do, but I don't even think he's walking. Shoot, I need to pay more attention to my little cousin. My little niece ain't even kindergarten yet. I ain't worried about no high school graduation. My brother should be graduating in the fall. That should be exciting.
Before T gets chanting and ranting about graduations, let me go ahead and end this episode.
Oh, no. I'm not going to chant and rant about that.
Oh, boy. Well, yeah. I have no chanting and ranting this week. I'm too happy. I have my niece, so nothing could make me upset this week.
Anything make me upset this week? Probably something that I can't talk about. I know one thing I can't talk about. No, I'm just glad that the Eastern Conference semis are over because I'm like, oh, how much rest is LeBron and Cleveland gonna get? They seem to have space this outpouring.
Yeah,
The way it looks, if the Warriors sweep the Spurs, which I think they'll find a way to win one game, then they're gonna be sitting and waiting for Cleveland them to finish.
Yeah. Yep. Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I think Cleveland will go ahead and sweep Boston. That's my opinion. And I'm judging that off, you know, just that last regular season game between them where they were going for the number one seed. And even though Boston winds up winning the number one seed, eventually Cleveland beat them down. What, it was like a 30-point game in Boston?
Cleveland is like, I don't care. That's why they set people at the end of the year. They're like, we know that we can go into Boston and win a game or two if we need to.
Yes.
That's why they weren't stressing. And if the NBA, now you got me chanting, if the NBA would go ahead and make a Eastern Conference champion and a Western Conference champion before they go in the playoffs, like if you got an opportunity to get a ring, people would probably play it out.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, you should get a regular season championship.
That's all for we have this week. For this week, as always, I'm one of your co-hosts, Brian McKay, and I am with
T. Punning Ain't Easy, Davis.
And this has been the Mac and T Show podcast. Thank you for listening.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T Davis. Yeah. You can't tame us. We're going to the top, we're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.